Hey, I'm Megan Marcelino, and I want to welcome you back to Generations at the Table. Thank you so much for pulling up a seat and taking time to invest in your spiritual life today. I want to talk to you about facing failure. It's something that's really come to the attention of my heart over the last few years, that failure is something that I really had a lot of fear in regards to, something that I kind of carried shame for. Like I just was always afraid of it. It was like this risk thing. I didn't want to fail. I read this in a book recently. It's called Beholding and Becoming by Ruth Chow Simons. And I want to start off with this quote. She says, "We avoid it, hide it, and sometimes deny it, but sooner or later, we all fail. Even to write those words feels defeating when we want to believe we're products of our own strength and strategies. To take a spin around social media, a dinner party, or even a play date at the playground is to believe that failure is optional, that we can bypass the pain and the frustration of falling short if we simply try harder or plan better. But the truth is that 100% of all people are guaranteed to fail, regardless of how well they scheme, prepare, execute, or hustle." When I read those words the first time, I just felt like this washing over me of, oh my gosh, that's me. I have been there. And then she goes on to discuss how we try to do everything in our life to set us up to not fail, because ultimately we don't want the perception that we are failures, that we don't want the rejection, the naysayers, the I told you so. But that's not what life is about. All of us will fail, and it's about how do we face it? How do we handle it? How do we learn from it? How do we go from a fixed mindset in regards to failure to a growth mindset? When I think about experiences of where I have failed, I can think about issues at work, work-related things where I wish I would have handled them differently. And you know, sometimes you're really blessed with the opportunity to apologize. I had that happen recently. I had a dismissal, and it's been a long time ago. I had a dismissal of someone, and I have since come to learn some facts about that situation. And I was actually able to call them and apologize and say, "Hey, I want to let you know that I'm sorry for the way that this was handled. Some different things have come to light to me, and I want you to know that I feel really bad about this." And it wasn't even that the dismissal was wrong or the wrong call, but there were things around the situation that I was not aware of at the time. And I was able to apologize and say, "Hey, as a leader, I'm sorry for the way this was handled. I could have handled this better had I known." And those moments are valuable to us as humans because they shape us. And now hopefully the next time that happens, and it will, I will be able to know better and do better because of it. So failures are things that we can learn from. I think about family mistakes. I make mistakes all the time in regards to parenting or being a daughter or being a wife or being a daughter-in-law. It happens. But we have to look at those mistakes and learn from them. So we have to take some ownership, responsibility for our actions, and then choose like, "Hey, I can do better. I want to do better. I want to improve." You are not a stagnant, fully created, solid being. You are ever growing, ever changing. And failure, unfortunately, is part of that. When I think about failure, I think about times where I tried to fix things that I wasn't meant to. I tried to be the glue. When you're running like with an organization like ours, and there's all these different departments and all these different things and people and things happening all the time, there are moments when it just feels like if I could just try a little harder, if I could just do a little better, then I could bring, XYZ to success. And XYZ does not always come to success. Sometimes you have to call a spade. You have to step back. You have to say, "This isn't working. We need to reposition ourselves." And I really do not like those moments. But I can tell you that I feel like I am better for all of those moments, that those moments of failure and mistakes and learning from them has shaped me far better than any success has. And that success is actually birthed out of those failures more so than success out of success. Like I feel like I've learned on the back of decisions I wish we could change now. What I've been grateful for is I feel like when you trust the Lord, He allows you to steward something little and you make little mistakes at first, so that when you're, more responsible for something larger, the mistake isn't as costly because you've already learned it on the small thing. So I think it's so important to learn that we can trust the Lord in our spiritual lives with those moments when maybe what you're holding seems a little bit less significant, but it's not insignificant. It's a learning curve, and the Lord is allowing you to steward something so that you can take it to the next level. And then when you're responsible for that greater than thing, you won't make the same mistakes, hopefully. So failure, I think, is an important subject because it is something that we all face. But the question becomes, like, how has it been modeled to us? And then how do we model it to our children? How do we model it in the workplace? How do we model it at church? And then all the emotional reactions and things that are tied to it. Because failure is not just siloed in one thing. It is that feeling of shame, that feeling of regret, that feeling of I am never going to be better. So hopelessness and disappointment. It may even show up as depression or becoming totally risk averse. And we have to know that we can't be risk averse in our lives. We can't be risk averse spiritually. We have to be willing to, you know, take that leap of faith and say, I'm going to try and I'm going to try again. And guess what? I may fail, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep learning. Those disappointments and that shame is not something that we have to necessarily cover up. It needs to be something that we face, address, and choose to do better next time. And we want to make sure that we have healthy coping mechanisms with fear and failure, because if you turn to things that are, like, you know, abusive towards your body or trying to how you cope or anger or resentment, that's not going to further you. Like, do you pray about it? Do you journal it? Do you take the time to think about what happened and then how you're going to position yourself differently for the future? And thinking on and facing is really different than wallowing in. We recently had someone come in and they did a leadership training and they talked to me about, like, my ability to, that I wasn't too self-critical and that was a good thing. And I said, well, I feel like I am actually hypercritical of me. I was like, I think I look back and think, I wish I would have done this differently, said this differently. Even with this podcast, I think, oh man, I wish I would have rephrased it. I wish I would have positioned it. But what they said to me was, there's a difference between you having those thoughts, applying the change and moving forward, and wallowing in them and, like, laying in self-pity and feeling of, like, worthlessness. That's not really my battle. I do address them, but then I move forward. And so, you know, we all struggle with different things. And if I find myself trying to wallow, this isn't healthy. This isn't helping anything. Address it and move on. I found this really encouraging. Did you know that Thomas Edison had over 1,000 patents? I mean, two really big inventions, the light bulb, the microphone, the motion picture camera, the phonograph. These are inventions that changed the world that we still use in some version today. Obviously, they've been modified, made better, you know, taken to the next level, probably multiple times over. But we do that. However, this is one of his most famous quotes. He says, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. So this perspective on failure emphasizes that failure is an opportunity for a lesson, for growth, for finding what does work through what doesn't work. He had a resilience and an adaptability that I think we can model after and say, I want to embrace that. So sure, he had 1,000 patents, but he had 10,000 that didn't work out. And so we have to realize that those moments that are not necessarily deemed success are still shaping us, positioning us for our future, our heavenly future, our doors of destiny. When we think of failure, I think a lot of us do so through the eyes of whatever culture that has been reflected to us. Maybe it's the culture of your home, your workplace, or your church. Was failure shunned or shamed? Were you made to feel stupid? Or were you taught and modeled in a healthy environment that this is an opportunity to learn? And no matter what your experience was, you are now at a point where you can take ownership of that, responsibility of how you view that failure, what your perspective is, and say, this is not how I'm going to handle it going forward. And I don't mean, like, habitual, just constant failure, like doing something wrong because you're choosing to live a lifestyle that is outside of what the Lord has for you. I mean those mistakes that you make when you're stepping out in faith, because none of us do this walk perfectly. And we all make mistakes. We are all doing our best. But going towards that goal leads to oops, whoops, and, like, really big mistakes. But when we learn from them and we don't, you know, bury ourselves in the shame, because maybe that's what was modeled to you, but you get to choose now how you receive that information and then how you carry it out, how you model it differently for your family, model it differently for your children. Oh, Carol Dweck, she was a psychologist from Stanford. She wrote a book on mindset, basically, like, the new psychology of success. And she talks about the difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And when you meet someone with, like, a fixed mindset, meaning that they're not really open to change and growth, that they really believe that failure reflects on their like abilities and their intelligence and their talents. And it's like that these are fixed traits that cannot be changed. So failure reflects solely on them. And that's what causes us to wallow in it. But we don't want to see failure as a reflection of our identity. Okay, we don't want to see failure as a reflection of our identity, who we are, and what we are capable of. It is a reflection of something that needs to change. It is a reflection of something that we can do better. So when you meet failure with a growth mindset, you see that failure is a tool that teaches, that trains, that perfects. Like Thomas Edison, you're going to have to throw away a few of the inventions and ideas that don't work, but you're still moving towards those 1,000 patents. And that failure is not a direct reflection of who you are. It is certainly not a direct reflection of who you were created to be. It is simply a part of life. And we can do whatever we want to avoid it, to try and dance around it, to minimize it, hide it, to bury ourselves in shame. But failure will happen. You're going to fail today. You're going to fail tomorrow. But what do? We repent and we learn from those mistakes. When I think about even learning from failure, I do that a lot with like the kitchen stuff. I like to cook, so I like to get in the kitchen and I like to perfect recipes. And there are certain things that I'll go back and I'll try and I'll make them again and again and again until I get it right. Well, not every time is necessarily a failure, but not every time is really a success. But what changes? It's me looking at the recipe and saying, like challah, for example, I did this for a while with challah. It's like, I think it needs more salt. I think it needs more honey. So was it a failure? No, it was a learning curve. But what mattered was I did something a little bit different the next time. I recorded what I did different. I measured the results. I tasted it. And I said, okay, yes, this is better. Or no, this is not. Or no, this needs more of. Failure became part of the learning process instead of a stamp on, oh, you should never make challah, which everyone should learn to make challah. When you embrace a growth mindset, then there are a couple keys that we can really talk about today. Embracing change, embracing challenges, learning from criticism, the persistence in the midst of setbacks, because even on your journey, as you get better in this, you're still going to face setbacks. Celebrating your effort and progress and praise. We joke, but in our house, we have pre-celebrations. Like when we think something good is going to happen, we have a pre-celebration. And the funny thing is, sometimes the good thing doesn't happen and doesn't manifest. But my husband, Paul, always says, think about how many less celebrations we would have had if we would have waited for the actual big thing or the big moment. Or have you ever noticed how sometimes those big moments get tainted in something else? Like, I can't tell you how many times we've had something really good happen on a really hard day for the world, or something was going on in someone's life that we loved that was tragic and terrible, and you're trying to and wanting to celebrate. So I say celebrate as much as you can when the little wins, with the pre-celebration, when the moment happens. Don't wait for all success to be there. You know, jump in and celebrate with your family. And learn to value learning over approval. Man, that was a big one for me. I have learned about myself that I struggle with the fear of man and what people may think. And I think I'm getting more free of that as I get older. And I've learned to realize that I'm seeking the approval of my Heavenly Father above all else. But sometimes I still battle it. I'm like, I wonder what they think about us, or what these decisions that we're making, or I wonder how my team feels, or if they feel, you know, I feel concerned about it. But I have had to learn that my responsibility is to be obedient to the Lord and to make sure that my decisions line up with the Word of God. And if they do, and if I am, you know, building my life on that spiritual path, that even if I make mistakes, that there is going to be grace for me to learn from them. And that what other people think, they may think it's crazy, they may think it's, you know, whatever, that's not what matters. Imagine what the people thought about Jesus. Imagine what the Pharisees and the Sadducees said about him or to him. But he didn't come here for that. He came here to save us. He came here on a mission, and he remained true to that mission in the face of adversity, in the face of what others may have called failure, which was not failure. It was God's purpose, God's intent. He used every portion of Jesus' life to lead us to salvation. So what we may have said was failure. Can you imagine how the disciples felt when they saw the Messiah hanging on a cross? In a moment, that must have felt like all their life they had given, everything that they had done all this time they had poured into their rabbi was a failure, but it was actually a monumental, life-shaping, world-changing victory. It just didn't look like that in the moment. When we have a growth mindset, we learn to embrace education. We learn to embrace self-improvement and personal development and mindset shifts. It's so important to learn that you can change your mind. You can shape your mind. I think sometimes in like the Christian circle, sometimes there's a fear of like personal development and your mind. And it starts to get off into like, is this works or is this, you know, new age or what is this? What is the word? But how many scriptures does the Lord say that, you know, he talks about our mind, that his mind would be in us. So it is good to embrace a lifestyle where you set your mind on that which is pure, that which is holy, but that you also choose to change your mindset to focus on what the Lord has for you and embracing those challenges, embracing new habits and embracing new patterns. We don't change by simply just absorbing just, you know, what someone is saying to us Sunday morning from the pulpit. We change from absorbing the word, applying it, walking it out in faith. That's where the transformation process happens. But in the midst of that, guess what? We also have little failures. We can embrace a mindset of learning from our failures in our home, with our families, personally, spiritually, in work, and in leadership. We can learn from our mistakes. And when we do that, we become better moms, better wives, better friends, and better for who we are. You know, at the end of our journey, when we are at the end, and we all hope that he says, well done, good and faithful servant, it is not going to be because we arrived at the end without any scars, without any mistakes. It's not because we lived perfectly. It's because we lived a lifestyle of faith and obedience. In the next episode that we're going to be recording, I'm going to talk about that connection between faith, like those big faith leaps, and the daily grind. Because sometimes I think that there's a disconnect, and there is faith in every single part of that. There is faith in that really big faith leap, and there is that faith in that daily grind of I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to close out with this. This is what the word says, which is the most important thing. We can learn from the word. We can learn from Peter, who denied Jesus. We can learn from Moses, who struck the rock when he was not supposed to. We can learn from David, you know, adultery and murder. All these men of God, these men of the word, these men of faith who had these really significant moments of failure. But that failure did not define them. Just like your failure does not have to define you if you choose to repent, turn from it, learn from it, and walk in the way that God has for you. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says this: we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. That doesn't sound like an easy peasy life to me. That sounds like mistakes. That sounds like oops. That sounds like, man, I wish I would have done that differently. But we are not destroyed because we have a God of grace who loves and understands. Psalms 37:23-24 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. So, how do we overcome failure? First of all, we grab hold of the hand of the Lord and we do not let go. First of all, he doesn't let go of us, but don't let go of him. We take the time to face it, face the failure head on, be honest with yourself, look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you screwed up, but you can do better. And here's how. You know, get the word out, begin decreeing it over yourself, choose that mindset, grab the lessons, apply the lessons and walk them out. Man, to have a failure and to leave those lessons on the table is so expensive. What a mistake that is. Whereas a mistake that shapes you, shifts you, perfects you, positions you, I think you can look back and find value in that. So grab the value in those moments and then choose to do better next time. Remember that you have been created in his image, but we are daily beholding him. We are daily being transformed into his likeness. When we meet him in the morning and we wash ourselves in worship and in the word of God, we are becoming new. His mercies are new every morning. We are embracing that new creation. So who you were yesterday does not have to be who you are tomorrow. So set yourself on that pathway, that trajectory for success. Face the failure, acknowledge it, repent, and embrace the ability to change. I can't wait to see you again next week. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about those big faith leaps and the daily grind to get there. See you soon.